Merkle Media.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Back It Up Fridays with Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host with the most, Jack Merkle, and I'm here to back it up for you guys all the way to episode 63, Delivering for Dumbs, D-U-M-B-S, is something like that. Anyway, this was kind of like, it jogged my memory that we had this one. We had talked about it actually this past week on the voicemail show, which was a blast to record, by the way. Anytime we all get into the studio together, you know something's going down, and we chopped it up a little bit and had a good time, you all heard. And if you didn't, go ahead back and listen to that one. But yeah, one of the callers had talked about his location and that he wanted to, if Tony wanted to talk to him about getting out there to Raven Rock, you know, to let him know. And it just reminded us of this episode 63. It was one of those that just, actually we had a double, like mystery palette, which was the one right after this where they were delivering to strange military bases type thing. You know, we love this kind of stuff. I mean, we're just like a conspiracy family. So, you know, we enjoy the thought process behind, you know, what could this be? What could they be delivering? Cause these guys have, you know, good stories, especially, you know, with Todd in this one, telling us about his time delivering to, I think it's an Air Force base in Utah, and a few other things. I mean, it's just cool to hear these stories of guys who are delivering to secret places, or at least somewhat secret. You know, maybe not confidential, but I mean, they still don't know what they're delivering sometimes. So it's, or most of the time, I guess. Anyway, it just jogged my memory. I figured this was apropos to put it up this weekend for you all to enjoy and have a great time listening to, because honestly, this was one of those that, you know, you love the story behind it, because maybe it's not like, you know, you're seeing something crazy on the street, or you're, you know, witnessing a UFO like last week's Back It Up. But still, this is just, it's crazy to think about that we have, you know, countless truckers out there who are delivering to these bases, or delivering to things that they have no idea what they are, you know, and you have no idea what's on your truck. You're just, you got to deliver it, and you got to get it unloaded and all this stuff. Anyway, this was a great one. I know Tony and Brian had a great time talking to Todd. It was one that just, it stood out to us because we thoroughly enjoyed this conspiracy rabbit hole. And I mean, they go down different things. You know, the rabbit hole of conspiracies in this episode, as we did a little bit in the voicemail, as we would no matter when we're talking, because we all love to think outside the box, and we hope you do too. Anyway, I will stop babbling. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy your Friday. Stay safe. Get home safe this weekend, and enjoy the show.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
I thought you were going to do something. Oh, boy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle.
And I am Methuselah Honeysuckle. You wanted one?
You threw me off with that. We just recorded it.
It Okay.
We just recorded, and you just said Brian Merkel, and I stopped it because I was like, why did you say it? I thought you were going to just go with the normal this week, and you just pull that out of the hat.
It was worth it.
Oh, man. Listen, if you have a crazy and wild experience from the road that you want to share with us on the show, please shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us.
Just do it.
Just do it. Nike.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just do it.
All right. Listen, friends. We have a voicemail line.
We do.
Right?
We do.
And you guys need to call the voicemail line if you got a little tiny short story. If you got a long story, if you want to chop it up with us, the best way to do it is to email the show and get on the show. But if you just have a little 5-minute quick hitter, the voicemail line is there for you. Dad, what is that voicemail line?
That voicemail line is 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
Speed it up, man.
We can slow it down.
They're not writing it down. They're just going to hit replay.
Look, I'm old. I still try and write down the number.
You're recording this as if they're like, okay, hang on a second. Let me get a pen and pad. Come on, man. This intro's already 2 minutes long, and we didn't even get to prepare.
That's 515-585-MERK. That's M as in Mary, E as in Edward, R as in Robert, and K as in Karen.
King Merk. Oh, man. Listen, the voicemail line is there for you guys to call in and share us your quick hitter stories. But again, please email the show if you want to talk to us in depth about your experiences. It's a chop it up kind of show.
It is.
Listen, if you're a driver out there, you know how it is. When you're around other drivers, you get to talking, and an hour later, you're still standing there in the middle of the parking lot waiting to go home in 30 degree air because you're just talking about what happened that day. Do it with us on the show, right?
We want to hear it.
That's right. So, listen, friends, the world's bananas, and you want to make sure you and your family are prepared and that you're prepared out on the road. And that's why we got preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. There you can get yourself emergency supplies that will last up to 25 years on the shelf. There's a lot of great deals on that site. And I think right now you can get 3 months. No, maybe it's 6 months. I should have checked before we started.
Might have been a good idea.
There's some good deals. Just trust me. Check it out. Preparewithhll.com. Prepare yourself and your family for those emergencies. There are some things coming possibly in the next 8 months that you're going to wish you would have had the food, because I've been hearing rumors. You heard about the toilet paper apocalypse. Well, yeah. We might have a food apocalypse coming. So just make sure you and your family are prepared. That's why we have the site. Listen, if you don't want to use the site, don't use it. Go get some beans at the store, whatever you want to do. Just make sure you're prepared, you and your family.
It's better to be prepared. It's better to have it and not need it.
Yeah.
Then need it and not have it.
And listen, I'm Puerto Rican. I love beans. So I'm all down for that action. You know, just give me some rice and beans and I'm good. I'm freaking good. So anyways, listen, friends, we got a great show coming up this week. We have Todd coming on the show. And when you listen to Todd's first story, you're going to recognize him from the voicemail line. We had him tell it again. And then we go into several different directions of this conversation.
And it's just all over.
Hey, listen, I had a fun time talking to Todd, especially when we talked about the deep underground military bases. I'm all about that action.
D-U-M-B.
Listen, this guy had a contract where he had to drive his trailer into the base. And what his experience was during this was just like, I was jumping out of my chair. I was like, what? What they put in this truck? I gotta know. So, let's get to Todd right now. All right. Today we got kind of a returning guest. We have Todd on the show. Todd, how you doing, sir?
What's going on, guys? Doing good.
Doing good. Awesome, man. Hey, Dad, say hi.
I knew that was coming.
I was waiting.
Man.
Listen, I gave you the option. I asked if you wanted to introduce him, which would have been my turn to do it.
Todd, it's like nice to talk to you.
The show. Dad, say hi.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, tell the senile old man to say hello. Oh man. It's nice to talk to you, Todd. Thanks for coming on and talking with us.
I want to give the audience a heads up. We are recording and there's a guy outside mowing his lawn. So if you do hear a lawnmower, that's why. I try to dodge lawnmowers when it comes to recording time, but we just got to, we've been talking to Todd for about 30 minutes.
I know, right? And the poor guy didn't come on the show to talk to us, and here we are, we're not even recording anything.
Yeah, I know. And when we called him, because we had to reschedule this, we're recording on a Saturday, usually we do Sundays, and he said, sure, we can do a Saturday. And I called him and he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot we were going to do this interview today. And so, I mean, we're talking his ear off for 30 minutes and he wasn't even planning on talking to us today. So
wasn't thinking about it. Now his wife is going, what are you doing?
Yeah, now she's going to be checking his phone records.
Well, what's funny is I got your text message this morning that said, hey, are we still good for tomorrow? But you sent me that text last night.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's the interview tomorrow. Yeah, I got it.
See, Todd, I'm telling you right now, when I do confirmation checks, usually I try to make sure I say the day for that exact reason. And that's exactly why I'm so anal about everything that I do and how I do it, because there's a reason for it. That's why I always ask people what times, because they'll be like, you know, yeah, I'm good. Let's do 5 o'clock. What time zone are you in? Because I'm in the Eastern time zone. If you're in California, it's a little different, you know?
Right.
So every time I say a time, I always put EST, CST, PST, you know, like all that stuff, just so everybody knows we're all on the same page, you know? So nobody's got time to waste. But thank you.
I put my phone on mute at night when I go to bed, so nobody gets a hold of me after I go to sleep.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, same.
Not a big deal. We're here now. We're going to knock this stuff out.
Yes, sir.
Awesome, man. Awesome. I'm really glad you're talking with us. So I kind of said that you're a returning guest, and it's because you were on the voicemail line, and we told you when you did the voicemail, we're like, you got to email us, bro. Yeah. Like, we got to have you on the show. And so I want you to tell people again the story you said on the voicemail line, and then we'll warm them up with that. And then we're going to go into different conversations. I mean, you've been driving for 19 years. You're an owner-operator. You've done government contract work, which we're definitely going to get into because of one of the places you told me about. And you even might have saw a UFO in North Dakota, and who knows what else you got for us. But start us off with some chicken poop.
Well, it wasn't chicken crap. It was cow crap.
Ah.
This was a few years back. I hauled livestock, and I've like I said, I've hauled a little bit of everything. Being an owner operator, you kind of float around. You pick and choose whatever pays the best, more or less. And at that time, I was hauling livestock, and I was actually on a rodeo contract while I was hauling steers for rodeos around the Southwest. And I was coming out through Oklahoma, and I was not doing the speed limit. So I got stopped. And the Oklahoma trooper, you know, walked up and was doing, a pasture side approach. And he was real hugging the side of the trailer pretty tight. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I got a full load of cows. It's not exactly the brightest thing to do, because even me hauling them, I know not to walk that close to the trailer. So he gets up to the pasture side, he opens the door, and he gets all my information. And I tell him, hey, you know, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job, but don't walk so close to the side of the trailer. Well, he looks at me and says, I think I know what I'm doing, or something to that extent, kind of being arrogant about it, and walks on back. Well, I'm like, well, I'm getting a ticket. No big deal. A few minutes go by, and I see him get out of his car, and I see him, there he comes, walking back up to the truck. And I happen to look up in my spot mirror, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, a spot mirror, so you got a large round mirror on the bottom of your mirror, then you got your normal rectangle mirror. Well, my spot mirror actually was pointed up towards my stacks, because I had straight pipes, and this was an older truck that burned a little bit of oil, so it would let me see how much smoke I was pouring, or how much coal was coming out, more or less. Well, he got about halfway down the trailer, and I saw a tail kind of ease its way out of one of those holes in the top rack, and he just got showered with cow crap down his left side, down his uniform. His little Mount Me hat got folded up against his face, and sunglasses got coated, and he come walking up the truck, and he opened the door, and he didn't even say anything, and I said, I tried to warn you, and he just didn't look at me. He just handed himself back up in the seat, and I handed him a roll of paper towels that I had, trying to be nice, but being an ass at the same time. And he goes, you need to slow down. I said, you have a long way to go, because that stuff stinks, and it's going to ruin that shirt. And he just told me I needed to get out of there. So backed up and he kind of shook himself off and just clumps of it was falling off. And badge was coated and face was coated and I felt so bad. I'm like, you know, there's better ways to getting facials than getting a face full of cow crap. But he didn't want to listen, so.
He won't do that again, will he?
Oh,
that is a mistake he won't make.
And what did he say? He's like, I think I know what I'm doing or something like
Yeah, I think I know what I'm doing. Okay, I know what I'm doing too, and I know what comes out of those damn cows. Go ahead, but he won't listen, so he got in my face full of it. So.
Oh my gosh,
it goes in the front and comes out the back.
Honestly, that's one of the things. Like, I wish there was that was on video so we put it on the Hammer Lane Instagram. My word,
that would be awesome.
And I thought that when I pulled off, I'm like, God, of all the times not to have a GoPro connected to the back of the truck.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about doing something like that? Like documenting your journeys through with GoPros and stuff? Because I know there's drivers out there. I've seen drivers with like GoPros on their mirrors facing back, dashboards facing forward, one in the cab facing them, just documenting the whole thing. And then they obviously, I guess, have YouTube channels or something. But Todd, you ever think about doing something like that?
I've thought about it, but to be honest with you, I mean, it seems like a good idea, but I have a very small attention span. So I don't think the editing process would go too well because I'm one of those people. I'll be doing one thing and it's like, oh, squirrel, and I'm off on doing something else. So
Todd,
I mean, I've thought about it. It'd be cool to make those videos. You know, I got a dash camera in the truck, you know, but it's 100% for my safety.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I thought about it. Again, I don't have the attention span to sit in my sleeper at home with a laptop trying to edit, you know, 100 hours worth of video. I just don't blame you. Have that attention span.
Yeah.
So, like, Todd, you're driving down the road, and you're like, I'm driving. Oh, there goes a goose. Oh, wait, I'm driving. Supposed to be driving.
Oh, yeah. I pay attention to who's coming by me and looking down at people more than I do, I think, looking out the window and looking to see what's going on down the road.
Yep.
That's funny. Now,
because I swear some of the things you see people doing in their cars going down the road
is
just unfathomable. I've seen people with laptops on their laps typing. I've seen people reading a book. I've seen people self-loving themselves.
Showing a little bit of love to themselves, yes.
Yeah.
Who do you love most? Me!
Right now, it's me.
Yep. I think if you spend enough time in a truck, you're going to see that stuff. I mean,
yes, most definitely.
I drove for 8 years in just Pitt, Ohio, and I've definitely seen that.
And you drove during the day.
Oh yeah.
Try driving at night.
It's probably harder to see.
Oh no, they help.
They got to watch what they're doing.
A lot of times they're very helpful. It's like you can leave the light off.
They turn their dome light on like they want to wash themselves or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They're really impressed by themselves and they gotta see this action.
Well, that goes back to my, and I think about that, I'm like, I don't have the attention span to edit video, much less do that and drive. What am I gonna pay attention to myself for the drive?
Exactly.
I'd have a cramp in my arm before I ever got finished.
Yeah. I tell you, like the thing that pops in my head every time, I think I might have said this on the show before, I'm driving down the turnpike, it's rush hour, and this guy's in the passing lane, the far left lane, and I always just rode the middle lane because it's just easier. And this guy passes me and he's just wailing away on himself watching porn while he's driving in the fast lane. I'm just like,
in the afternoon.
I'm like, bro, he must work around somebody that really turns him on. Like, I that's the only thing I think.
Or he's got a very stressful job. He's trying to relieve that stress before he gets home. Yeah. You know?
Like, I'm just like, bro. Just wait.
Beating it like dirty money.
Yeah. it was like he was mad at it. Like, he was like, I was like, yo, bro.
My word.
Oh God. All right, we can move on.
We got that out of the way.
Yeah. So when we were talking before we started recording here, I mentioned about the voicemail and you said, well, what did I send you? Like, so it sounded like you had you have a lot of different stories you could share. So I'm gonna let you kind of run with it here and talk to us about whatever you want to talk to us about. I mean, you've got 19 years experience driving. We can go down the government contract route. We can go down the UFO route, or we can go down, you know, another, you know, jerk off story or whatever.
Nice.
It's a family show.
Well, I'm gonna put that. Yeah. Family show here.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm sorry. I just said what we're all talking about out loud. I'm sorry. I didn't use the code word this time.
Use your inside voice next time.
I got my CDL when I was 21. So when I was 17, I joined the Army active duty. I did a 4-year contract, and I was actually a truck driver in the Army. Now, when I came out of the Army, this is how I got my CDL. Now, this is probably cheating, or people are going to say, holy crap, you're lucky. I never took a written test, and I've never taken a road test, because I had a military CDL when I came out of the Army. At the time, my mom lived in Florida. I moved to Florida with my mom, went to the Florida DMV, gave them my military license. They called up like the local National Guard unit or something, got what all the vehicles were that I could drive, and I walked out of there with a Class A CDL. Never took a test.
Wow. That is awesome. So, and lucky.
So 19 years later, here I am. Yeah. And I actually had never... It was never intended to last this long. I never wanted to drive a truck long term. My dad's a retired cop, and that was actually my goal, was to be a police officer like my dad.
Oh, wow.
And then, like I said, I got out of the Army. A buddy of mine from high school had started driving for, I think, Warner. I think he went through their school to get his CDL. And I went on a trip with him, and I've been hooked ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for one major company, and I realized early on, I think I bought my first truck when I was 26. And I've owned, let me count them, probably 5 since in that time frame. My newest one, like I said, my newest one I bought in 2019, April of 2019, brand new. Bought it out of Arizona, right off the dealership. And it was actually ordered for somebody else that came in, but didn't like it. I happened to be coming through. I loved it. Traded my other one in, and here we are. But
You weren't even planning on it. You're just like, I like this truck. I'm getting it.
No, this is a hilarious story. Okay, so I stopped. I try not to stop at Peterbilt dealerships or Chrome shops, because that's where my money goes.
Yep.
Shiny things like and distractions, huh?
Yes.
Exactly. It's like a dope. It's like a dope habit.
Yeah.
Like a dope habit, I have this need that my truck needs to be seen from the International Space Station. So if I can put a light on it, it's got a light on it, and the brighter they are, the better. If I could run auxiliary batteries and an auxiliary alternator, I would. That way I could blind the piss out of everybody. But anyway, so no, I actually just pulled in there with, was going to look at another light setup, LED light setup for the cab and the sleeper, up under the cab and the sleeper. Saw the truck, went out there, told myself, and I'm walking to the truck going, don't go look at it. Don't go look at it. You don't need it. I mean, it's like a married guy walking to a strip club saying, don't do it. Don't do it. But I did it anyway and drove it, come back, and the salesman's like, hey, we make you a good deal. And I'm like, hey, you had me sold. Let's go. What are you going to give me for mine?
You had me at hello.
Yeah. And the probably the most hilarious part about it is I didn't tell my wife till I pulled up on it.
Wow.
That's what I was going to say. What'd your wife say?
I pulled up on it and she goes, did you get your truck painted while you was going? I said, I sure did. Over dinner that night, she goes, you didn't paint your damn truck, did you? And I said, no, that's kind of a new one. She goes, well, are you going to tell me? And I said, surprise, ta-da.
I just did.
You know, listen, let me tell you guys something. Wow. Like, so there's just something about that what he just said that I crave to do. For whatever reason, I know it's gonna get Lindsay pissed.
Piss your wife off? That's what you're craving to do?
Not well. I guess in a sense, yes. Like I go ahead.
You know, there's a phone number for suicide prevention. If you're feeling bad, you need to call that.
Yes, it did, didn't it?
I'm telling you, man. Like I just have this like sick dream to be able to go to a dealership with like my truck, my pickup truck,
mm-hmm.
and just I'm just browsing, just looking, and then I come home with a beautiful brand new truck and not tell my wife and just say, ta-da, and just see her face. Like, for whatever reason, it's going to happen one day because I really want to do it. I just, mm-hmm. You know what I think it is? I envy guys like Todd who actually do those things. I'm just like, how did it end for you while I'm still married? That's good enough for me.
He didn't say it was happily married. He just said he's married.
She didn't kill me. I saw the look of homicidal rage in her eyes, but she didn't act on it. So
that's good.
She has more self-control than I do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If the roles were reversed and Lindsay did something like that, I would be pissed. But I think that's part of the process. Like, I think the whole reason is to piss her off a little bit.
But you know what? I mean, your mom and I just had our 33rd anniversary yesterday.
Yes. Happy anniversary, by the way.
And I'm like,
yeah, happy anniversary.
Thank you. I'm at a point in life where I look at things and I'm like, my car is a 2001 Toyota Camry, like I had said earlier, and it's got 327,000 miles on it. And I have no desire to go in and pull into a new car dealership and get another car. I'm driving this thing until it dies. I want to see how many miles I can squeak out of this thing.
You're the opposite of me with that. Like,
I've been down the road of a new car, had the shiny thing, and it's like, and I've had the bill. And now it's like, you know what? I have a car that has no payment to it, and I don't care, and I don't want nothing.
For people to understand, and Todd, you too, our prior conversation, I think you understand this, Todd. My dad literally wears it, and it's not a bad thing.
No.
It's your badge of honor to see how long you can make this freaking car last, right?
It is now.
It's not just this car, but it's always been this.
Yeah, I've always done that.
Yep. And the car you're at now, you know, it's 327,000. Yeah.
899 when I pulled in your driveway.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, at this point, you cannot get rid of it because, one, nobody's going to take it from you. And, two, you just got to stretch it out and see how much more life you can get out of it.
Heck yeah, exactly. But, I, you know, it's like Tony's like, one of these days I just want to go stop and buy a new car and not tell Lindsay and just come home with it. And I'm like, I have no desire to do that anymore. It's like, Nope.
That kind of works for me because it is a business for us that. But in the same sense, I'm like that too. If I were to come home and she had a brand new car in the driveway and didn't tell me, I wouldn't even care.
Right.
I'm like, okay, well, because the way I look at it is she has a good job. She makes good money and she did. And so we're a team the way I look at it. Yeah. It's not her money. Yeah. It's not my money. It's our money.
Exactly.
Yep. And I mean, I might be my name on the door, my DOT number, but it's not my truck. It's our business.
Yeah. I hear that.
Because she does do a lot here at home for me when I'm on the road. She makes sure that the company credit cards are paid and, you know, stuff like that. Or if I have a broker that's wanting to be a jackass, she has other phone numbers I can call to, you know, somebody else. Or, you know, if I'm having to sit, because I have no problem sitting for 24, 36 hours because I'm not going to take cheap freight because that's how owner operators go under.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a set number in my head that I've calculated out exactly my bare minimum, what my truck has to get just to cover fuel. And if I don't get that, then I don't pull your crap.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Yep.
Because your freight sitting on a dock is not bothering me.
Yep.
Exactly. If you don't want to pay for it to get shipped, I guess you don't want to sell the stuff. Because
You know what? So, there's another customer out there who will.
Yeah.
They'll pay what you need.
And going with that is, you know, these big companies like, and I hate to say Swift, but Swift is a thorn in everybody's ass,
right?
Because they do more damage in truck stops than they do on the road.
Yes, but which is hard to believe, isn't it?
No, have you ever seen them back up? I mean, it's like watching.
Yes, I have. It's like
watching a monkey screw in a football. Man, like,
let me ask you guys this:
you're really trying to do.
Let me ask you guys this: as two guys who've been driving for a long time, and you guys both have spent your time at truck stops. I don't really do, it's city driving. City you just go boom, 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 boom. You're not stopping at truck stops.
Right. C&D.
My truck stop is a delivery.
Right.
But what is it that you, because I don't have that kind of experience with Swift. I just see it in the memes. What is it about Swift that you guys think makes their drivers like this? Because it has to be some kind of truth, because it's not like everybody in the world just gangs up on one company. There has to be this level of truth where typically Swift drivers aren't that great. Why do you think that is?
In my opinion, okay, so we all all three of us can drive a truck. We can back up. We can hook up. We can shift through the gears. Or you guys probably drive an automatic, so you don't understand what I'm saying.
No, but, No. We're standard boys here. Okay,
I'm still standard for now. All right, good. So yeah,
Don't bring that mess around us.
Anyway,
all right, well, you're real truck drivers then, if you know how to drive a standard. So anyway, I think with Swift, you can go from no experience and no license, and in 6 to 7, 8 weeks, you have a CDL. And then they send you out with a trainer for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they cut you loose on your own. So you're talking about from start to finish, under 10 weeks, going from I have no idea what I'm doing to, oh, I'm by myself driving a truck. Look at me.
Yep.
But I think that is a lot where Swift's problem is.
Mm-hmm.
But I gather that that's not just a Swift thing, though, isn't that? Like, there's other companies that do that, don't they?
Yes, there are other do that, but I think with the other companies, I think their standards are a little bit higher than Swift because, I just don't see. Yeah, I just don't see the damage from these other companies. Like, if I see a Swift truck that doesn't have a mismatched bumper or part of the side skirt missing, I'm assuming that somebody bring it from the dealership because right. It's not wrecked yet.
I mean, that's why a lot of times you'll see
you laugh, but I'm being serious. If I see a Swift truck that is pristine and doesn't have a scratch on it and it's not missing anything, I'm like, oh damn, they just got a new truck.
So
that's their show truck.
Community colleges and stuff.
Yep.
Does Swift then have any veteran drivers that are there long term tenured, or is it typically just a place that rookies get their feet wet and then they move on to a better company?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, I imagine they have some guys who are there for some length of time because they're their trainers, you would hope.
If there's somebody right now listening to us that is a Swift driver, yeah. I genuinely would love to talk to you and not to bust your nuts, but like to really one, hear your stories and stuff, right. But like here, I want to hear the background story on Swift. Like,
right.
Like what is it? Why as a driver for Swift, obviously it probably pisses you off hearing people talk like this about, because right. You're one of their drivers, but like, why is it that Swift has that rap?
They have that rap because they've earned it.
Yeah. I want to hear from one of their drivers. Yeah. I want to talk to one of their drivers.
For whatever reason, it just seems to be that
I think
way.
It was last year, a year before, I saw a number from the National Safety Transportation Board or whatever, NSTB, whatever that agency is, that put out a number and said Swift Trucking Company alone had did like $48 million worth of damage. Jeez. in like one quarter.
Wow.
Of last year before.
It makes you wonder what in the world is their insurance like? You know,
how do they keep their insurance? How do they keep their hazmat endorsements?
Maybe they're self-insured.
That's the thing is, you know, all trucking companies and even me as an owner operator, I have a safety record,
mm-hmm.
a
safety number, and DOT can pull my DOT number if my numbers drop, right? If I have too many accidents, get too many citations, overweight, whatever.
Yep.
And it goes against that. And I just don't understand. I mean, somebody, not being nasty, but somebody blowing somebody in Washington in order for them to keep their permits. That's all I think. But you know, and the thing is, I got a friend of mine in Texas that just started driving for Warner. He's never driven a truck before, but he calls me all the time, bugging the piss out of me, wanting to ask questions. And I don't mind helping him because we went to high school together and all. But he sent me a video the other day where I think it was a female driver for Swift. And she was bragging that she had only been driving a truck for 9 months and Swift had just made her a trainer.
Wow.
And that she must be doing something great. And her video was very sincere. And I felt sorry for her because when you click on the comments, I mean, she was just getting hammered from every direction, right? But you could tell in her voice and her facial expression, she was sincerely happy and proud of herself because she honestly thinks that she has done well enough at 9 months of driving to where she can train somebody else. And I'm sorry, after 19 years of driving, I don't want to train somebody. And not that I don't have the knowledge to train somebody. I don't want to take that responsibility.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I can tell you that at 9 months, of driving a truck, I don't care if you did 9 months on Ice Road Truckers on the History Channel. Yep. You don't know what you're doing. Yep. You have no clue what you're doing.
Nine months
still have to hit most of the major cities in this country, you know. and drivers nowadays too. A lot of the big thing is I think like 90% of all the trucks with these big companies are all automatics. And that's probably will, but for somebody that has driven my truck now is an 18 speed. I can almost bring my truck to a complete stop just by downshifting and using my Jake brakes before I ever touch my pedal. Yep. Going down hills, I can brake without ever touching my pedal, so I don't worry about burning my brakes up.
Yep.
Climbing hills, I climb them twice as better as these automatic trucks, and has nothing to do with my truck being governed or not being governed. That has nothing to do with it. It's just
timing.
An automatic does not stop, does not shift, does not pull near as good as a manual. And a lot of these kids, and I'm going to call them kids, that are coming out of trucking schools now, don't know the pleasure of being able to shift gears in a truck.
You got that right.
That was so worded beautifully that because it's truly a pleasure.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to shift these gears. Like if you don't ever get the opportunity to do it, you don't know what you're missing out on. It's part of the fun when it comes to driving.
It's like a badge of honor now because there's so few drivers who know how to, mm-hmm. who drive something that it's like, you know, I push a button and I hit drive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You took all the fun out of the job.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
You know, for city drivers, you city guys definitely need an automatic. There's no way in hell I'd be red light to red light all day long, pulling in and out of customers. Press the clutch in.
Get used to it.
You guys deserve an automatic, but us guys over the road. Like I took my dad's went with me several times, and every time I get out on the road and I start shifting, he's like, "Man, you're shifting so smooth. It's like I'm in an automatic. I don't feel the truck moving." And I just look at him and smile, and I say, "Yeah, that's the biggest joy of driving a truck is not grinding the gears, truck's not bouncing all over the place." Because you can tell the drivers that don't know how to drive a manual because you see that truck just trying to rear up like it's coming off a drag strip. Too much cow pill there.
No, just it's just that powerful of a truck, you know? Just vroom, vroom.
5,000 foot-pounds of torque. I got to hold this thing back. Like, all right, super trucker.
Yeah, you got that right.
Oh man, that's funny, man. Oh gosh, this is great. All right, let's talk about something here.
Here we go. Here it comes.
I want to hear
your favorite subject.
Yeah, listen, like I'm sure there's a lot of crossover audience from the confessionals and people they know, like
they know the other show.
Yeah, the other show. But like I have a very deep fascination and obsession with underground military bases. Underground bases, underground caverns, caves, all that stuff. But like the idea of DUMs, deep underground military bases, I love. And there's one maybe 2 hours from me called Raven Rock in Pennsylvania. You can Google it. Okay. You can actually see the entrances that go into the ground. I did an episode, a while ago with a guy who drove for, I think, Old Dominion at the time. And he was on a contract where he went in there to do these deliveries.
He's really taking a long time to get.
No, listen. So that guy fascinated me because he had like some really crazy stories. And he was also talking about something that I'm really interested in. Well, Todd, you've been in Raven Rock too. And I'm like, I'm striking gold here. So I just want to hear about your experience driving into Raven Rock. It might be just ho-hum normal. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you had a lap dance by an alien. I don't know, but tell me about it.
All right. So when this particular load came about, I had a government contract and I was actually hauling, pulling Apache helicopters out of Mesa, Arizona, where they're manufactured at. And the Apaches are built at an airport called Falcon Field in Mesa. And the government guy, I can't remember his name, saved my life, and it probably wasn't his real name anyway, but he had called and said, "Hey, I have something coming out of Pennsylvania, but I need you to rent a refrigerated trailer if you can find one. And if you can't, that's fine. We'll get somebody else to do it." And I had dropped these Apaches, where did I drop them off? Somewhere over in Iowa. Well, I dropped them. I say I dropped them because there was two of them, but it was two different trips. But the last one I dropped was in Iowa. And I was like, okay, no big deal. So got a hold of a trailer rental company right there in Pennsylvania, and I can't remember. I'm not going to give them a shout out. But anyway, I dropped my step deck is what I pulled a lot of this government equipment on. And I dropped it there, rented a reefer trailer, and I went to the address. Well, when I got there, it was obviously Raven Rock, but I was stopped at this guard shack, and this security guard took my paperwork and run my name and everything through the computer and said, okay, told me where to go and said there was a staging area for me to go there and somebody would come get me. So I went into the gate, went to the staging area. I guess it was about an hour. A solid black Chevy Tahoe pulled up. I know what everybody's thinking. Oh my God, black SUV, government. Yeah. One guy driving, another guy gets out. The guy gets out, walks his driver's door and says, asked me who I was, who I was with, blah, 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 all my paperwork, and gave him all that crap. And he goes, okay. He goes, I'm going to get in your passenger seat and you're going to follow this SUV inside the mountain. And I was like, okay. Or he said inside the complex. So we pulled in. It looked like a big warehouse, but we pulled in and there's actually, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but there's a big loading elevator that goes down. And
to fit your whole truck on?
A 53-foot trailer, refrigerated trailer, and a 295-inch wheelbase long nose Peterbilt 379. I backed it in there. Me and him got out of the truck. It went down. Me and him got in an elevator. We went down, I think, like five or six floors underground. There's my truck. Somebody had pulled it out of the cargo elevator. He gets in with me. He says, okay, bump this dock over here. I bumped the dock. He said, stay in your truck. Don't move. Don't do nothing. Don't get out. And I was like, okay. I'm not even joking. 10 minutes later, he comes back out and says, okay, we're ready to go. I said, did y'all load it? He goes, yes, it's loaded. I said, I never feel anybody go in that trailer. He goes, it's back there. We went up, went out, went back to the staging area, and there's two black SUVs there now. One guy gets out of the lead SUV, walks up in my truck, introduces himself, says that they're going to be my escort to Salt Lake City. And I was like, okay. And I asked him, I said, well, can I ask you what's in the trailer? He goes, don't worry about what's in the trailer. We just need you to set your reefer unit on 62 degrees and let it run continuous. I was like, 62? So that's nothing edible. It was at 62 degrees, whatever it'd be, it'd be spoiled by the time we got there. So set it where they told me to set it, and we left. Well, my logbook started running out, so I pulled into a rest area. The lead guy that I had made contact with initially got out, asked me what was wrong, and I told him, I said, my logbook's running out of time. He goes, your logbook exempt for this.
Wow.
He goes, if you need a rest, it will drive for you. And I looked at him, I said, you've got to be smoking something really good. I said, because I'm not letting one of you fools drive my truck. He goes, I assure you, Mr. Kipton, we are more than qualified to drive your truck. If you're tired, you need to sleep, we'll drive. But we're not stopping unless you need fuel. So long story short, from PA all the way to Salt Lake City, I tag teamed with two other guys driving my truck because I didn't have any choice in the matter. Get to Salt Lake City, and as everybody probably knows, there's an Air Force base in Salt Lake City. Well, part of this base is actually inside the mountain, and I've always known about it. I've always heard about it because I've had other friends that like hauled ammunition and missiles and stuff, and they keep a lot of munitions inside that mountain because it's cool. Well, guess where my truck went? Inside that mountain. But guess where I got to stay? In a staging area.
With a couple of course.
My truck went in, and I don't know if the kid was super young, but he was like an Air Force police or something like that. And I was asking him about, you know, where's the truck going? What's it look like inside that facility? And he said, well, after looking at what you're hauling, he said, your truck's probably going 7 or 8 levels down just in case something goes wrong. And I said, what do you mean something goes wrong? He goes, well, they didn't tell you what you were hauling. I said, no. He goes, oh. And just walked off.
No, so, I want to know. I want to know.
You want to know. I don't know what it was, but I will tell you that when the truck came out, they had one guy get inside the truck with one of those radioactive meters.
It was nuclear.
and he was sweeping inside the trailer, and I asked him what he was checking for. He said, I'm checking to make sure that it's acceptable amounts of radiation left over, because if not, we're going to have to decontaminate this trailer.
Wow. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah. So, and like I said, now, on that particular truck I had a gauge on the dash that would give me my load weight. I'm pretty sure I think every truck's got them, but on a Peterbilt, most Peterbilt, especially the 379s or 389s, got the load gauge on the dash. My load gauge was not registering any kind of load behind me whatsoever.
Wow.
I mean, it was like I was empty. So I don't know what
going
it was.
There?
It didn't. Huh?
Going there, it felt like it was empty.
Yeah, it felt like it was empty. Like, I never felt anybody going in the trailer with, like, a forklift or anything like that. And literally, he got out of the truck, and 10 minutes later, he was back in the truck saying, okay, let's go. And the truck pulled and handled like it was empty. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, I really don't know what it was. I mean, I've got theories, you know, bio something or some kind of, you know, a buddy of mine that's a huge conspiracy theorist swears up and down that it was probably some kind of like a biotechnology, some kind of computer chip that was integrated with some kind of, you know, living biological something. And I'm like, nah, come on, man. And he's like, oh yeah, it's probably something like that. But I don't know. All I know is they got in there with tested the radiation.
Yeah, the Geiger counter. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I remember asking the guy, I was kind of like, shit, am I going to grow a third toe out of my head or something? Is it good? And he's like, he goes, yes. He goes, the radiation levels are acceptable. He goes, just close the doors, go to the nearest truck stop and have them wash the trailer out.
Wow.
Jeez.
I mean, it almost sounds like it. Like, I mean, in my mind, where, you know, my non-conspiratorial mind goes to, it sounds like it was some kind of radioactive material. Not a lot. It was a small amount, but they wanted it inside the trailer so that it's, because it has to be spaced so far from the walls and from people outside and that kind of stuff, according to, you know, the, you know, DOT regulations and all that.
I doubt they care
not
about
that
the
they
DOT
care because, I mean, you're driving straight through. I mean, you're not stopping except for fuel. But,
I
you know
assure
what I'm saying?
You, Mr. Tipton, we are capable of taking care of you. As yeah, he has a third eye.
That's really interesting. That is a really cool story. Go ahead, Todd. I'm going to cut you off.
Any other time I blow a scale house, I do it for my sheer amusement. But, you know, in this situation, I was like, I hope they do come out here. I really do. I feel like I'm getting kidnapped. Somebody please rescue me, because I had no idea. But I will say this. When I got paid for it, I made more for that one load than I had made the entire previous month.
Wow.
So you're asking, when can I come back?
Oh yeah, I mean, I told that guy, I said, anytime you got anything like that, then he's running again. I said, I'm doing it, and he was very adamant. He goes, we only use one driver at a time for those loads. He goes, and those loads only come out every few months. He goes, and you'll be on the rotation for another one, but we've got drivers ahead of you. Because, like I said, hauling that government stuff, you have to have a clearance. You have to have a thorough background check and stuff like that. Because nobody's gonna let you just take off with a however much a damn Apache helicopter cost, strike out down the road, or with a tank or something like that. They want to know who you are.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah. So I don't know what it was. I just know that, you know, Uncle Sam paid me considerable for it, and the precautions that they were taking mm-hmm. was pretty significant.
So you took it to Hill Air Force Base, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think that's the one in Salt Lake City. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was on the south side. I don't remember that. I don't know what that mountain range is called, but it's on the south side of Salt Lake City, and it's like an obscure little outpost guard shack or whatever that just says truck deliveries with the Air Force Base name on it. You pull in there, and they took it inside the mountain, and like I said, that Gomer Powell-looking kid said it went 5 or 6 levels down, so apparently he knew what was going on, or knew somewhat what was going on.
Is it Yucca Mountain?
That sounds close.
Okay. So
several years. So.
And remind me, the guy that assumed that you knew what you were hauling and didn't, what was his reaction? What did he say to you that you were like, well, I don't know what was in there. He's like, oh, and he just walked away. What did he say to you though? I can't remember.
I asked him, said, what was our, he worded it like he was like, he knew that I knew what I was hauling. But when I was like, well, I don't even know what I'm hauling, he's like, oh. And the expression on his face was like, oh, shit, I done said too much. I'm going to go back over here.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. But, well, yeah, good. I'm out.
Very good. Very good. Uh-huh. Okay.
Before I get killed or shot or whatever.
Ring, ring. Yes, mother.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I don't want to get suicided. That was the look on his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Dude, you were hauling something legit, man. Like, okay, so it wasn't a dead body because it would have had to be colder. Maybe it was like, I don't know.
Let's go back. You said it wasn't a dead body because it had to be colder, but we don't exactly, man, I'm fixing to feed into your theory. We don't know what body temperature an extraterrestrial has to stay at.
Well, I mean, we know what a dead body here on Earth has to stay at, and I would imagine they'd have to succumb
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've never seen an alien like that, killed one and touched their body or anything. But, you know, who's that guy that owns that Stardust Ranch? He's killed them with
John Edmonds.
Yeah. What's their body temperature?
Well, let me just throw this out there. Who says it had to be a dead one?
Well, that's where I was going. That's where I was going with it. That's what I was going with.
62 degrees. Maybe his body temperature needs to be around that.
Yeah, they walked it on. They're like, maybe they had it like alive, but it was kind of like in stasis, and it was like they needed to have it.
We are really taking a certain temperature.
No, listen, you need to have it a certain temperature in there to keep it kind of mellow and stuff. It was in a cage, and they had some, you know, nuclear chip inside of it, you know, probably stuffed up its butt and like, returning a favor for all the probes you guys do to us.
You're just wrong, dude.
You're wrong. Hey, listen, next month
we went from driver doing self love to now we're probing aliens.
I know, right? That's what I was just thinking. I'm thinking, what is with this show
tonight? Oh, man. Well, listen. Listen, I don't know what it is, but aliens.
You sound like you're bound up.
maybe I need some laxatives.
I don't know if it's laxatives you need, but
is that the family rated word, laxatives?
That's not what we used to call it.
When my kids were young, it was nap time. But I'm going to try the laxative tonight. I might have to watch.
I need to start a movement, baby.
Let's finish my theory, okay, fellas? So they have a live body in a cage with some kind of nuclear chip attached to it. And
if it got loose, they were going to wipe out 3 states for 1 alien.
Exactly. So
I'm with you.
Yeah, man. Like, that's why you didn't feel the weight, because there was no... on, Dad. There was no weight behind it, because it's probably like a 3 foot tall alien. What is that? 30 pounds, 40 pounds? And they had it in probably like some kind of like plastic cage, because they're allergic to plastic, you know? And they put it right in the middle of the trailer. They strapped it in. So there was a good, you know, 40 some feet on each side of it. And they're just like, take the bumps easy. Take the bumps easy. That's it.
I
figured it out.
Oh, we didn't take bumps easy, man. We went through Gary, Indiana, in that mosh pit of a downtown. They weren't taking... And anybody, every truck driver that's ever been to the TA in Gary, Indiana, is laughing just like y'all are, because they know what I mean. Place is like a third world country in a war zone all in one.
It's like a moon landing.
Oh man,
I love. Forward and roll my windows up just driving at speed going down the interstate through that place. I don't stop.
Wow.
But, you know, honestly, I don't know what it was. And, you know, it could have been, we can go with your theory that it was that, but I don't know. It's always baffled me, but, you know, it's something I'll never know. I'll never 100% know what it was. I'll just have my theories. So,
yeah, but that's cool. Well, I mean, that is a cool story.
I'm telling you, it's not a theory. I know these things, okay? Just trust me. It was a 3 foot tall alien allergic to plastic.
That's radioactive.
In case the government's listening, my name's not really Todd. We're just changing it for security purposes.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. They are listening. They always are.
I yeah. Wait, this is Hammer Lane.
Hey, I'm a killer.
It doesn't matter. I'm Tony Merkel.
Yeah, Epstein killed himself. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I think, honestly. Epstein killed himself. Yep. Case closed.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get on my basis. I don't want to get suicided, okay? I still got plans with my life.
Oh, man. You're really dying. You're turning purple, man.
Yep.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, damn, they already got you that fast.
Oh, that's hilarious. See,
my dad laughs hard when he gets nervous. He's like, I'm getting really uncomfortable.
I'm gonna call a tow company, have them tow my truck to the dealership, and I'm gonna stand across the street while they hook up to it. That way, it don't blow up.
I was just gonna say, send your wife out to start it.
No,
but you know,
no. I got a couple people like. I got a couple people I could send to you to have started up.
I got an ex-wife. I keep missing her.
There you go.
Call her and have her come.
You know what I fear more than the government listening to this conversation is the emails I'm going to get from some of the stuff we say.
That's hilarious.
Well, episode
I'm sure six. I'm sure my accent's going to kick off a lot of good emails too.
No, it's not the accent. It's the content. And I'm gonna get like, you know, the 63rd email from somebody for the 63rd episode kind of thing. You know, hi, it's me again. I just want to tell you what offended me this week.
Oh, that's why I couldn't do, like you asked me about the GoPro and stuff like that. I'm a very blunt person to a fault, and I'm just at almost 40 years old. I really don't give a crap about everybody else's feelings. If I say something that offends you, then I'm sorry. I guess I was directing it at you. I didn't know it, but you know, all these people getting so sensitive over everything nowadays is just ridiculous.
Yes.
You know, that offends me that you say that, but it's okay. I'll forgive you.
Well, you'll be fine,
man.
You'll be fine.
Good boy. Tony's going to go sit in his safe space.
Yes. Which is supposed to be my studio, but apparently that's where I get offended most. So,
good. Where your men's romper sit in your safe space.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about another story.
So I got a really good one that actually you might be able to. I don't know if it was a UFO experience or if it was missing time or what it was, but you'll be intrigued by this because even to this day, I just don't know. I wouldn't say it's missing time because I remember everything. It's more like I covered a distance and a lot faster time than I should have. That makes sense.
No, yeah.
So, this was my first truck I'd ever bought. I still have this truck, being my first truck. I just can't get rid of it. And when I tell you what it is, you'll understand. So it's a 1985 Peterbilt 359 extended hood with the aluminum hood. It's a flat top sleeper. It's got an old B model white Caterpillar, not the yellow cat, but the white Caterpillar in it.
Wow.
And old trucking guys will understand what I mean by that. Yeah. Those engines are very hard to come by. They're very hard to find. And it's got a 13 speed in it and it still runs. I just don't drive it.
That's awesome.
So I had started hauling cattle at this time, and I've hauled cows a couple of different times throughout my career. And it really depends on what time of year it is and what they're paying to haul them. Because I have access to cattle trailers through friends that I have down here at home. So it's nothing for me to borrow a cattle trailer for a few weeks or a few months, pull one. So at this particular time, I was doing rodeo stuff again. But this time it had took me to South Dakota, and I dropped off some yearling bulls or whatever they want to call them. And there was a guy there with a Native American reservation up in North Dakota. Said that they had just bought some cows at auction, which is where I dropped mine at, and wanted to know would I be interested in taking the load that they had just bought up to their reservation, which was about a 4.5 hour drive north. And I was like, absolutely. We settled on a price. Auction house had them already wrangled up, put them in the chute, put them in the trailer. Off we go. By the time I left that afternoon, it was already dark. And I'd already mapped out, and this was back in the day before GPS. So everything was done with the old Rand McNally Atlas, right? So I'd already mapped out the route I was taking. And I knew that the first, I guess, 50 to maybe 75 miles was going to be a four-lane highway, and then everything past that was going to be a two-lane, right? And I knew, based on the mileage, how long it was going to take me. It was going to be about a 4.5 hour drive. Well, the first hour, roughly about the first hour, was on a four-lane. It was dark. I turned off from this two-lane highway, and it was going north, northeast, kind of. And I knew that the holding corral, or whatever you want to call it, was going to be on the right-hand side of this road, and it would be right off the road, and it would be well lit up. The guy told me it was going to be well lit up anyway. And so I knew when I turned off that road, I had roughly about 3 hours, maybe 3 hours, 3.5 hours of drive time left, right? So I'm going down the road, radio's going, CB's on, nobody's out there. I don't see a car for hours, days. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing out there. My CB starts, like, flashing, and then I get a lot of white noise, a lot of static coming through it. So I reach up and I turned it off. Like, I remember feeling the power button click, like the radio was off. I'm not joking when I say that it started flashing again, and I started getting a lot of white noise coming through it again. Well, this freaked me out, so I reached up and just snatched the power cords out of the ceiling, right? CB never acted up again, but I'm going down the road and I'm checking my mirrors. I look over in the pasture mirror and I notice there's a light coming up from behind me. And I thought it was a car at first, but it got brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And then all of a sudden, the entire truck, all the way around 360 degrees, was engulfed with this bright white light. Now, at this point, I still should have had a couple hours, maybe a little over a couple hours of drive time left. It lasted, the white light around the truck lasted what seemed to me about maybe a minute or two, and then was gone. And I swear to you, as soon as it was gone, I looked up and there's the damn corral that I need to pull into. And I blew past it. Went down the road, found somewhere, back in, turned around and come back. The same Native American guy was standing there. He's laughing. He goes, I figured you'd miss it. He goes, and you blew by it. He goes, I almost missed you. You were driving so fast. And normally I would have laughed at that. But I was still in like utter shock as to what happened. So didn't say anything to him because, like I said, I was, you know, at that time I wasn't real well versed in the Native American lore legends and their folklore and stuff like that. So I just thought maybe I was tired. Maybe I fell asleep, maybe I drove. But as days go on, it just gnawing at my brain, and I'm like, no, I wasn't asleep. I just legitimately did a 3 or 2 hour drive in like a minute and a half, it seemed like, because the light was there. And I do remember while the truck was engulfed in this white light, I couldn't see anything out the windows. Like, I had no idea I could have been riding off the road for all I knew. And then as soon as it was gone, it's like, bam, there's where I need to turn. So I literally covered, you say, at 2 hours, let's say I had 2 hours left at 80 miles an hour. So I covered over 100 miles in like no time, like seconds, maybe a couple minutes. And I can't explain that. So I don't know, going back, if it's extraterrestrial, if it's UFO or what it is. It's not missing time because I remember all of it, but I don't know what it was. Are y'all there?
No, we're here. I got this loud car outside. I was trying to wait to talk again for the recording because I could cut it out if we're not talking. Hang on a second.
All right.
Do you hear that, Dad?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, what? All right. Well, we're just going to roll with it. And Jack, keep this in.
keep that long silence.
Yeah, keep the silence.
That pregnant pause.
like Todd, I'm literally, we're sitting here talking to you, and this loud car comes, and I'm just put my hand out, stretched to my dad, like, don't talk. Wait, don't talk. Hoping this car would drive by, and it's like it stopped in front of my house. I'm like, what is going on? First the lawnmowers, then my mom's talking loud, now the car. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, that was a great theatrical pause there.
It was.
Oh, man. You know what? Jack should add in cricket sounds. That'd be funny. Oh, but yeah. Dude, so...
To add to that story, mm-hmm. there's a second part to this. So about 3 weeks later, I took another load of cattle to that exact same spot. When I got there, I had gotten enough courage to talk to the guy about what had happened. And for a Native American guy, brown skin, he turned white because he said that the time frame that I was missing or that this happened, there was a head-on collision with a car. And he and I sat down, right, did the math as best we could, and figured that where that car had that collision and those two people died should have been roughly about where my truck should have been at that particular time.
Wow. That is crazy.
So, exactly. So, like I said, I wouldn't qualify this as missing time because I remember all of it. It's not like I woke up and went, holy crap, where am I at?
Right.
It's more of, I don't know if it was like
an intervention.
God intervening.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know if it was something on a spiritual level that, you know, here I am, 80+ thousand pounds, load of cows, young driver, only a few years under my belt, drunk driver, hits another car, hits the truck, everybody dies. I don't know if it was that kind of situation. I just happened to be the one that got saved. I don't know. And even now, you know, I'm 40 and I was in my mid to late 20s at that time. I'm almost 40. I'll be 40 in October. And I still don't have any clue as to what that was. I chalk it up as a religious experience, maybe.
Wow. Yeah.
But I don't know. Because, like I said, I mean, I'm not a genius by any means. And the math was never a strong suit. But it wasn't hard to figure up the mileage, miles per hour, time, and where I would have been at on the road. And that is where I should have been, is roughly, give or take, exactly where a two-car head-on collision happened, where two people died.
Holy cow. Wow.
That's incredible.
That is freaking amazing.
That's incredible. Dude, it sounds like there was a divine intervention there. Yep. For sure. That, to me, that screams it for me.
Yeah.
But
That is just crazy.
Wow.
I mean, that is just crazy.
That's a story you can carry for the rest of your life, man.
Most definitely.
Well, and I will tell you, I've never been back to South Dakota or North Dakota since.
Is that by design?
Not necessarily. I just, you know, there's not a, being a owner operator, you take what pays, and it's just one of those things. I haven't been back, I guess.
There's not a whole lot of industry in those, especially, I know South Dakota. I mean, they don't even have 1 million people statewide.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, livestock. Now, if I was still hauling cattle, probably I'd probably say, yes, I've been up there 100 times because there's a lot of livestock up there. A lot of cattle, a lot of rodeo stuff goes on up there. But, you know, given the fact that I don't haul that 100% of the time, that's probably part of it, why I haven't been back up there. And it's not out of choice. Not out of choice at all. It's just, I went, did that, it happened, and that's what we kind of figured, came up with as far as the explanation.
Jeez. Wow.
That is just amazing.
Todd, you brought the heaters today, man. For somebody who didn't realize we were doing the interview and just so happened to answer the phone because you thought it was a scammer and you were going to mess with them, like, you really brought the heater stories today. I like it, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry the lawnmowers and the muscle cars all messed up my audio, friends, but at least listen to his voices because, holy crap, some good stories.
Definitely. Definitely.
Hey, I get to hear the lawnmower or Joe Dirt and his Charger outside yet. Listen, so we're good.
You're not gonna, because it's not produced yet. Once Jack produces it, I think it's gonna come through. Everybody gets uptight about certain things in life. There's just things that bother the hell out of them. For me, it's audio. Like I know what my audio should sound like, what I want it to sound like. And when I got somebody mowing a lawn that's five roads over, but I still hear it just a little bit, it pisses me off. And so
he's a sensitive
man. I'm like that when it comes to people parking on the fuel island.
That doesn't make sense. I don't understand why people what in the world, what makes you think that that's okay?
Yep, that's okay to block. I don't understand everything. Yep,
is it that you live in such a your own little world where you don't think about it, or are you that much of a jerk that you just want to piss everybody else off around you?
Right.
Well, I think your dad's been driving a lot longer than I have, but he can attest that this industry, and you could probably even attest to this, this industry has changed dramatically just in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yes.
The quality of driver that we have nowadays is nowhere close to what it used to be. And I blame that solely on these big companies and their lack of training.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is, freight prices. These big companies can haul freight for $1 a mile, where somebody like me, who's got a, $3,200 truck payment a month, I can't haul freight for $1 a mile. I just can't do it. But these big companies can do that, and it puts a lot of small guys like me out of business. And that's why I'm, early on, I made sure that I was very diversified in what I hauled and my experience. I didn't just latch on to one thing and that's all I knew how to do. I've got my tanker hazmat. I got my doubles and triples. Some states, we can't haul triples down here. But, in the northern states, probably, I think maybe up there where y'all are at, you can pull three trailers, can't you?
Not in Pennsylvania. No. I know in Michigan you can.
And a lot of them are out west,
Yeah.
And see, that was part of the plan behind this when I decided this was what I was going to do. I was going to learn how to do every type of load that I could. I was going to learn how to pull every type of trailer just shy of a car trailer. I don't deal with cars. Just ain't going to do it. I've seen too many of them rolled over because they're top heavy. I've honestly seen on the turnpike in Ohio, I saw a Honda Accord come off the back of the damn parking lot.
Wow.
I'm like, damn, dude, what happened? And I guess the straps broke or whatever, but here comes a damn Honda Accord down the turnpike with nobody in it.
Wow.
And they come off the back of the car trailer. Yeah. And so, but like I said, the caliber of driver, the courteousness of drivers nowadays, I've always had a CB. That was the one thing that I was always told by older drivers was always have a CB in the trucks, because back when I first started driving, cell phones were not readily available. Believe it or not, we still had to stop and use a damn payphone. And now if I find a payphone somewhere, I take a picture of it because I'm like, nobody's going to believe I found a payphone.
does Clark Kent live in this neighborhood?
Yeah. And then I'm tempted, because all payphones had the same smell. And I'm like, now I'm tempted to pick it up and smell it. I'm like, no, you're going to get COVID or some other shit.
Exactly.
Listen, that's probably the last place on earth you're going to get COVID, because nobody uses it.
Right. The industry has changed so much. Fuel prices are skyrocketing. Freight prices are dropping. The caliber of drivers. And I give you an example. I give you a couple of examples. Prime. Nothing against the company itself, but they had a driver. And where was I at? Van Horn, Texas. There's a little fuel stop right there. Just in Van Horn's on the east side of El Paso on I-10. Stopped there to get fuel, and I pulled up. And there's a Prime truck, Freightliner, whatever they are. I'm not a Freightliner fan, so I don't even know what models they are. But pulled up beside me, and I'm pumping. I'm finishing off my pasture tank. And I hear somebody go, hey. And I'm oblivious. I'm just doing my own thing. And he goes, hey. I turn around, and there's this guy hanging out of his truck. And he's like, I'll give you $100 if you pump my fuel. And I'm like, dude, pump your own fuel. He goes, I can't. And I was like, why? And he opens the door, and I swear to God, I mean, I'm not a small guy. The trucking industry has done me well.
Right.
I'm not, you know, I'm not as skinny as I was in my early 20s, but this guy was probably 500 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm not even joking. I'm not even exaggerating.
Wow.
And he was so big that his calves and stuff had already started turning that purplish color due to circulation problems, where he just literally sits there all day. And I'm like, dude, just get out of the truck, pump your fuel. I mean, get some kind of exercise. I mean, I make a point that when I'm on the road, when I stop at night, and I always pre-plan, I pre-plan my route. So I know where I'm going to stop. I know where I'm going to get fuel. I know where I'm going to eat. And 9 times out of 10, I cook in my truck because it's cheaper. But I always make a point to where either in the afternoon when I stop, if I'm running during the daytime and I stop in the afternoon, I make a point to either walk in the afternoon for about an hour. And even if it's in a rest area, walking around the parking lot in the rest area for an hour, that's my exercise. And I don't go to the gym or nothing like that, but that's my way of keeping somewhat fit. But going back to what I said, it's these drivers nowadays, you know, a driver like that who has let himself go to the point he can't even pump his own fuel.
Yeah, that's sad.
Or I was getting a tire fixed in Eloy, Arizona at the TA. And as I walked out to the shop to talk to the tire guy, I just had this overwhelming smell of sewage inside the bay. And I'm sitting there talking to the guy about the tire, and I'm like, dude, what the hell? Did y'all get a sewage leak or something? He said, no, it's that truck beside you. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, it's the truck beside you. And the technician comes out from under it, and he's like, I don't care. They can fire me. I'm not touching this truck. And I laughed, and I said, what's wrong with it? He goes, they have fashioned a hole in the sleeper floor, like a trap door, and they have been urinating and crapping through that hole going down the road. And now it's all over the back of the transmission. It's crap slung up all up under the sleeper. It's all down the bottom of the truck. He said, I'm not touching it. I'm not working on it.
Wow. What the freaking heck is the matter with people?
So they're driving down the road, dropping deuces, and it's flying all over the road on people's cars and other trucks.
And the undercarriage of the tractor.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a team truck, and I'm not putting anybody down. Okay, I'm not putting anybody down. Everybody's got the right to an American dream, but they were foreigners. I don't know where from, but they were foreigners. And they were running a team truck. So apparently going down the road, they had to pop a squat. I give them an A for effort and ingenuity, because I'd never thought of cutting a hole in my sleeper floor and fashioning a toilet right there. If I get to the point where I want to toilet my sleeper, I'm just going to buy a bigger sleeper. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's stuff like that. And then, you two, I know, have seen it. You stop on an off ramp and you see 500 gallons of piss and Coke bottles, gallon jugs, and you know, Popeyes wrappers and McDonald's bags. And, you know, granted, all of it's not truck drivers, but if I see a piss bottle, I know that, okay, there's a truck driver. Mm-hmm. He did that.
Yes.
And I've been to truck stops where I've literally watched guys open their door and kick trash out on the parking lot, close their door, and leave.
And it just disgusts you, because it's like, look, you don't have to be a slob. You're a professional. You're supposed to have a professional attitude and act like a professional. You know, this idea that you are just some kind of, you know, slob who lives in a truck. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what to say to stuff like that. Well, because it just makes me disgusted. After almost 30 years in the business, that stuff still disgusts me.
Oh, it drives me crazy, because I look at it, you know, I'm a firm believer that my truck is a reflection of who I am as a person. Not just because I own it, but even if it was a company truck, I keep it clean. I keep it polished. I mean, granted, you know, like I said, mine's an extended hood 389 Peterbilt, so I've got all the chrome, all the chicken lights. I mean, and my truck gets like polished and buffed twice a year. And it gets washed at least once every 2 weeks. And depending on where I'm at, I either get it washed at Danny's in Phoenix, Arizona, or I get, you know, Little Sisters up in California or something. But my truck's a reflection on me. So somebody sees my truck shining like that. And plus, also, I've even been told by DOT officers that they will stop and inspect a truck that is nasty and doesn't look like it's well taken care of before they would stop a truck like, say, mine, that is well taken care of. And I've even had one tell me, even if you're overweight just a little bit and your truck spot looks like it normally is, I'm not going to mess with you. I'm going to wait for that piece of crap rolling in
It's money.
That looks like it had a bath. Yeah. Because they know, okay, you're not gonna take enough pride to wash your truck once or twice a week or once or twice a month. And most of these big companies pay for one truck wash a month. If you can't pull it through a truck wash once a month that you don't even have to pay for, I can almost guarantee you you're not checking anything else on it.
You got that right. Yes, yeah. Sir.
It's like my truck alone has 252 lights on the truck. That's not even counting my trailer.
Jeez.
And I promise you, every one of my lights work because I pre-trip and I post-trip. My trailer has 370 lights on it, and every one of those work too.
Wow.
Can you send us a picture of your truck?
I was going to say, that
would be cool. I want to see it, like lit up at night.
Yeah, that would be neat to see.
I'll definitely do that.
Do you have a picture handy? Because this show is going to air in 2 days. If you send it to me soon enough, I can use it as the show art.
Was that your cell phone you texted me in last night?
Yeah. Text it to me.
I can send it to you from there.
All right. That's cool.
Awesome. Listen, I totally understand what you're talking about.
Yep.
Now we had police come to my terminal, and there's another terminal next to mine for a company called Volpe. Mm-hmm. And they were just stopping in to tell the companies that, you know, there's a unusual amount of piss bottles on the hill leading down to our terminals, and they just wanted the drivers to stop throwing piss out the windows. And it wasn't us, but it's all the road drivers that come in doing that. And so I totally understand where you're coming from that, but there are things that, you know, even the city drivers do where I'll be talking to the mechanics, and they told me that if you're getting in a truck and it looks like the battery box on underneath your feet is all wet, it's not, it's like stained wet. It's because it's piss.
Get the heck out.
Yeah. And so they when they see that, they hose it down and clean it before they even pull the batteries because they know what it is. It's piss. And so the one time I was getting my truck and I saw it was like that, and the day before I wasn't at work, so I saw who was in my truck and stuff, and it was actually my friend. And I just said, because if it wasn't my friend, I would have been a little
different story.
But I was like, Scotty, I was like, you know, like like, just, you know, next time hold it out further when you dump. And he's like, yeah man, I was actually gonna clean that, I forgot, I'm sorry. I said, all right, it's okay. But I got one question for you, Todd. Let's back up here a little bit. The one question I have for you is, did you get that $100 and pump the guy's gas?
No, I made his ass get out and pump his own gas. Don't you?
Good for you. If that guy doesn't care enough about his own health to do it himself, at least somebody's making him do it. Yeah. He needs that.
You know, going back to, you know, the truck stops do not offer healthy foods or healthy choices for drivers. Every truck stop's either got an Arby's or a Wendy's or some other kind of, you know, fast food joint close to it. And a lot of Walmarts have gotten to where you can't even pull your truck into Walmart to go inside and shop because they don't allow trucks on the premises.
Right.
Or they'll threaten to tow you, right? So, like I said, I cook probably 80% of the time I cook in my truck. I've got a little one-burner stove that I can fold up. I've even got a little gas grill that goes inside one of my side boxes between my tanks and my drives. I got a little crock pot in there that's big enough for one meal for one person, you know, and I got a refrigerator in the sleeper. So, I mean, a lot of that stuff I cook myself. So, not only is it cost effective because I'm not spending $100, you know, hundreds of dollars a week at fast food places, but it's more healthy. But, you know, no, I didn't pump his gas or pump his diesel fuel. I was not going to contribute to his bad health.
That's right.
I don't know. I probably would just take the $100 and run and not even fuel it. What's he going to do? Chase after me? Suck it! You know?
Well, I mean,
he's probably had that happen to me before, so he pays you after you fuel.
I could have pocketed his $100 and took off down the road because he works for Prime and I work for myself, and I know his truck's not going to catch me. So,
Todd, the
thing is like when it comes to stuff like that, you have to plan for your own health. If you don't plan for your own health, you're not going to be here that long. That's just the way it is. That is just the way it is. And with this industry,
we have the opportunity to get out and exercise. I mean, we're expected to drive 11 hours a day, be on duty 14 hours a day. And, you know, a lot of people that don't drive a truck have commented to me, oh, it's just driving. How hard can that be?
I know, right?
I'm like, freaking moron, really?
Yes. I have heard that more times than you know. Yes, more times than I care to count.
Exactly. And it's not that the driving's hard. It's the idiots around you that you're constantly having to pay attention to. And, you know, I had a friend of a friend. She asked me one time, she, you know, well, truck driving just seems like the bottom of the barrel type job. Like you just didn't have the skill to do anything else. I laughed at her and I asked her, I said, well, have you ever been to the Bronx in New York? She goes, well, I've been to Manhattan. I said, have you ever taken almost a 300-inch wheelbase truck and a 53-foot trailer to a produce stand in the Bronx? Well, no. I said, could you drive your little Honda through there? Oh, God, no. I could never deal with that traffic. I said, what about 405 in California in rush hour? Or going down the Grapevine or over Donner's Pass when it's snowing? Huh? I said, exactly. Yeah. You had no idea.
Yeah.
And no question. And driven through the storms where you got, you know, Oklahoma and Kansas, you can literally watch a tornado drop out of a cloud, you know, a mile this way and another one over that way. And you're like, shit, there's no overpass I can get up under. And yeah, I mean, people like that just, you know, just because you have an education or a college education doesn't mean that what I do doesn't take a skill, because let's face it, you're city drivers, y'all got to be able to back in, you got to be able to pull into tight places.
On a dime.
Over the road. You know, same thing.
Yes.
You know, I've got a regular customer literally in downtown LA, in Chinatown LA. And it's a poultry market. Like they cut everything up fresh. And I have two lanes and an alley that's as wide that when I'm in the alleyway, when I back in, I literally have eight inches of space between each mirror on each side of the truck.
Wow.
I have to open my doors and back in. I can't open my doors once I get back into it because there's not enough room to open the doors without hitting the building beside me.
Right. And is it this? You know, and I managed to do that. These are things that people just don't understand about the job. And it's like you said, I mean, the frustrating part about this job, the thing that makes it that does make it stressful is everybody else on the road who has no respect at all for bigger vehicles on the road that will just cut you off, pull in front of you, go across three lanes of traffic to get off on the exit that they're passing now and cut you off.
Oh, yeah.
And they just don't care. I mean, this job is stressful. It's not physically taxing because you're not out, you know, building a house or digging a hole or digging ditches. You know what I mean? It's not that type of stress. It's an extremely stressful job. It is an extremely stressful job. And that is one of the things that just drives me crazy is when I hear people say that, you know, truck drivers just don't, you know, well, you just sit all day. Yeah. Try it.
Yeah.
How many times do you go on a road trip and you get out of your car and you're tired and, you know, your joints are stiff and everything else and you're trying to just wake yourself up. Yeah. And you've only driven 5 hours. Guess what? I drive twice as long as that.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, like, yeah. So when I first started driving for Pitt, now granted, like when you first start driving for LTL company, bottom of the list, I mean, you're doing the grunt work, grinding physical stuff. But when I started driving truck at Pitt, I had just come from working at a gym. I was doing college basketball stuff. I was in the best shape of my life. Mm-hmm. And every night for the first like 3 or 4 months, maybe even longer, I would come home whenever that would be. And I would just pass out and like got to the point where Lindsay would just leave me passed out. Like I was gone. Like those first few months it just went by because I don't remember any of it, you know, but it was just the constant go, go, go. Yeah. And the drive and the stress, like
it's stressful
when you're not used to driving in the city and all of a sudden you're taking a CDL truck into Center City, Philadelphia, the mental stress it puts on you, it wears you out.
Yes, it does.
You're exhausted.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's like I said, you know, I trip plan each place I go, and I know the cities that cause me the most stress, like Dallas, Houston, Phoenix isn't so bad depending on what time you go through there. New York's bad no matter what time you go in New York. Philly's not that bad depending on the time frame, but I know based on my route and where I'm going what time I need to hit these cities, right? Because I've been out here so long, and it's like right now, my truck's got a built-in GPS in the dash, right? I hardly ever use it because I know where all my customers are at, and I know where all my pickup and drops are at. I hardly ever use it. Now, I have my old Atlas, my old Rad McNally. I still have it in the back.
Right.
But I hardly ever look at it because, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I guess it's an accomplishment to know that I've been out here this long, and I know our country that well to where I don't really need a map to go anywhere. I mean, I can get me and my other half can get in her little car and take off, and I never even have to look at the GPS. We can get my truck and leave on a load, and I never have to look at a map. And, you know, I'd kind of take that stuff for granted because I don't think about it, but sitting here talking to you guys and thinking about it, you know, I've been out here 19 years, and I can literally go anywhere in the country and never have to look at a map.
That's
because
cool.
I've been to every major city, you name it, I've been there. Chicago, Detroit, L.A., New York, all of them. And I have my favorites and I have my least favorites.
Sure. Yeah, but, of course. That is so cool because, you know, even just talking about maps, I mean, how many people nowadays even know how to use a map?
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
Because if your GPS breaks, you're screwed.
Exactly. And everybody's got a smartphone now and everybody's got a GPS smartphone. So, and there's not too many places I've been you lose service. So you've almost always got Google Map or your Apple Map or whatever phone you're using at the time. But like I said, you know, I've got, a built in GPS in the dash of my truck that came with the truck and I never use it. I mean, I just don't have to. I don't use my phone either, but you know, like you said, these new drivers, they have no idea, you know, and I've got a buddy of mine and I'll call him the rookie to his face because that's what he is. He's only been driving a few months and he's only like a dedicated account in Texas doing Dollar General. And I laugh because they're building a Dollar General on every block. So obviously he's got job security there, but you know, I don't know. This industry has changed so much. That
yes, it has.
There's some days that I really, really think about putting a for sale sign on my stuff and just counting my blessings and leaving because it's just getting, some days it gets worse, some days better. And I guess it just depends on what companies I'm on the road with that day or where I'm going really.
Yeah. You know, it's sad when you actually see professional drivers driving as poorly as some four wheelers are driving. And having as little respect for the road and for other people and for their fellow drivers on the road. That just drives me
absolutely
crazy.
You know, I blame a lot of that, a lot of those bad behavior on technology. A lot of technology because, you know, you've been doing it 30 years. So trucking when you started is a lot different than when I started. And when I started, it was like the Stone Age. Now, looking back on it now, no phones, everything done by a map, using, you know, pay phones. I mean, I can only imagine doing it back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, you know, where you didn't even have to have a bill.
Yep.
You know, and you stop. Like, another thing, too, you don't see very many mom and pop truck stops anymore. I mean, I know where a few of them are at that I kind of make a point to stop because it's kind of, it's like true Americana because they're not always going to be there. And like Route 66 going through, you know, New Mexico and stuff like that, there's hardly anything out there anymore. And I like to think about, you know, back trucking back in the 60s and stuff like that, what everything looked like back before the interstates came along.
How about it? Yes. Yes.
Not saying I could do it because no power steering, no AC.
Yeah, your ass. Yeah, roll the windows down and hope for the best.
You know, and not to mention if I got in a truck and it had two sticks in it, I don't think I could drive it.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I've seen one truck in my life with two sticks, and it was an old B model Mack. You know, probably had enough torque to snatch my house off the foundation. But I'm like, there's no way. What the hell? I sat in it, and it was, you know, a guy that had it remodeled. It was at a truck show, actually. No, look at him. I said, there's no way. I said, there's no diagram for the gear pattern. He started laughing. He goes, no, there's not. You just have to know how to drive it. And I was like, well, I'm going to get out now because I don't think I should even be sitting in it.
Yes, I know what you mean. I have one of the guys I work with, and he's going to be on the show. We're going to schedule him to be on the show.
Randy.
He's been driving for 40 years, and he knows he drove the three sticks. And, you know, it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you even did it. You know, he's been out. Yeah. You know, he's just, it's amazing to talk to some of these old drivers and get some of these guys and just listen to them and listen to them talk. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guys, you know, like yourself, who've been out there and you've been doing this for almost 20 years. And it's just what you've learned and what you've gained from this and the things that you know, the wisdom that you have, the road wisdom, you know, the experiences, they're there. And it's like, you just wish you could get, this is why we do the show. Because personally, for me, I want to get these stories out there. I think truck drivers should be honored for what they do. Because I think what they do is keep this country going. Because if it weren't for the truck drivers out there, things would fall apart and stop. They just would. And I don't say that because I'm a truck driver. I say that because it's true.
Until Elon Musk's truck take over.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they start driving by themselves.
Yeah, him and his Neuralink.
Yeah. I was going to say it. If it wasn't for people like me, you, and Tony, this country wouldn't, 3 days. I give it 3 days. People would be going crazy. They'd be out of everything.
I agree.
Well, I mean, look what happened during COVID, dude. You're not a hero, but...
Like, oh my God.
Like in the beginning of COVID, when you know, like, when
everybody ran out of toilet paper.
Yeah. I mean, we, like, truckers couldn't get loaded and all this stuff, and everything just came to a stop, you know? Yeah. And that's why I said back then, I said, you're heroes now, but don't worry. A week from now, it'll change. And it did. Yeah. But everybody was like, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you're doing. And like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank me 7 months from now when everything goes back to normal.
When you
see
when
how thankful you are then.
Right. But no, it's just.
The toilet paper shortage, I told my wife just to buy me more underwear. She's like, why? I think if we run out of toilet paper, I'm going to need it.
I'm going to need something.
So that's what I'm going to need, extra underwear and extra socks, because one of the two is going to get used. So.
Or you could just, you know, do what 8-year-old Tony did and use the wrong leaves.
You could do that.
No, I'll pass.
Yeah, I would pass on that one, too.
Not wiping good to give you that itchy butt syndrome anyway. I don't want to wipe with the wrong way.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you from experience stuff, passing is the right decision. Listen, this
itchy
has been...
Itchy butt syndrome.
I'm going to say that phrase is not copyrighted, so you're welcome to use it.
That's awesome.
This was a good conversation, Todd.
It was.
We appreciate you coming on.
Hey, man, anytime you want to talk to me again, give me a shout. I'll be glad to. I sent you those pictures. Those are before pictures, before I added a bunch of likes to it. So I didn't have any updated pictures, but I will get you some tonight once it gets dark over here.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, Dad, what can they do?
Well, you've heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. Share the show. Share it with your friends. Share it with your enemies. Share it with your wife. Share it with your husband, your boyfriend, girlfriend, parents, family. And share it on social media.
Yeah.
Share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, share it on Twitter or MeWe or Your Spot or wherever it is that you're at.
Yeah, I listen, there's probably a social media company that's going to pop up one day, call it Your Spot.
There is one. Your
really?
Mom is on it. It's called Your Spot.
Of course mom's on it. She doesn't want to talk to anybody on the show, but she'll be on a million social media sites as if she likes socializing.
I know, right? Right?
What the heck? Hey, mom, why don't you come on down on the show? All right. Hey, mom, how you doing?
Crickets. But yeah, I know. I don't get it either.
What do you think about that call, mom? Oh.
It was fun.
Hey, mom, how many social media sites are you on? A million. Let me tell you all about them.
Nonetheless, share the show. Share it wherever you can. Holy crap. Just share the show.
Hey, and listen, Instagram is the spot for social media for, you know, Merkel Media. I'm very active on there. I'm trying to become more active on Hammer Lane. In fact, right now, we're live on Instagram as we record this. People are watching us record this live right now.
God only knows why they want to do that.
Yeah, so listen, please go ahead and follow our Instagram account, Hammer Lane Legends on Instagram. Look us up, give us a follow and stuff, and we greatly appreciate that love. We love you. Until next week,
keep the hammer down in the Hammer Lane.